now continue our study in the series, Control Your Luck, treating upon the idea of how to control your life, your luck, and your circumstances. The title of today's lesson is an interrogatory sentence. Dumb luck or science? And repeat the question after me. Dumb luck or science? Which am I going to live by? And in this lesson, I'm giving you a three-part technique for getting what you want. The first text is from the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, the second chapter, the second verse. And I want you to repeat it after me. Thunder it back at me, in fact, as I shall read it. And the Lord answered me,
and the Lord answered me,
and said,
write the vision.
Make it plain.
Write the vision.
Make it plain.
Make it plain.
Write your dreams.
Write your dreams.
Write your good desires.
Write your good desires.
Write what you want to be.
Write what you want to be.
To do and to have.
To do and to have.
Make it plain.
Make it plain.
Write your goals.
Write your goals.
Make them plain. The next text is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter, the 51st verse. These are the words of Jesus to the blind man that I love to talk about with a fair degree of regularity. The blind man who was crying after Jesus as he passed by in a great healing and blessing crusade. He had heard that there's a man going around making the lame walk, the dumb talk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. One day he heard this great noise. He heard a great crowd. And he said to those around him, well, what is all of this noise that I hear? What is all of this rejoicing that I hear? I believe I hear some hallelujahs. I believe I hear some glory to God. What is all of this? And they said to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They tried to hush him up, but he was the one that had the need. And as they tried to hush him up, he cried the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But he really wasn't being very specific. Finally, Jesus said, bring him over here. Jesus said these words that we're reading for our text. These four words I choose from Jesus' response to the blind man who cried for mercy. And I'm going to have you thunder them back at me.
What?
Do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Now I want you to say it word by word. What do I want? Again, what do I want? All right. When you get home, take a whole piece of paper and let that be the heading. What do I want? And we're talking about living by science rather than by dumb luck. Learn how to live not by dumb luck, but by science and knowledge. Knowledge of the law, the Lord, the law of mind, the Word of God. You don't have to live by dumb luck. So say with me, I don't have to live by dumb luck.
I don't have to live by dumb luck.
Now, you know, the people who really depend on luck, they really don't want to take responsibility for making their lives what they want it to be. They don't want to take responsibility for themselves, but you can live by science, by knowing. The word science comes from the original Greek word, gnoskai or gnoski, which means to know. You can know what you want, and you can know how to get it, how to be it, to do it, and to have it. And that's what we're talking about today. I discovered some very interesting statistics. 75% of the people do not know what they want. I have discovered that perhaps the most confusing question to ask a person is, what do you want? Try it sometimes on somebody who's complaining. Well, things are not going right. I don't have this. I don't have that. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that, but things didn't work out, blah, 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 and boo, boo, boo. Well, just stop and cut right through and say, well, what do you want? I told you this some time ago. We were at a very luxurious French restaurant in Beverly Hills, and there were several people sitting at the table with me. And they brought out those big menus with some of everything on it that heart could desire. And one young man sat there and looked at that menu that had every suggestion almost imaginable on it. And finally, when it was his time to give his order, and the captain said to him, what do you want? He looked up bewildered and said, I don't know what I want. I want every one of you to know that life hands you a menu. Say with me, the menu of life is in my hand.
The menu of life is in my hand.
Say it again. The menu of life is in my hand. And you see, God has placed the menu of life in your hand. Somewhere in the Old Testament, God says, behold, I set before you both good and evil, death and life. And Joshua said, what? Choose you this day. I say the greatest cause for people not getting what they want is that they do not make a direct choice, a definite positive choice. The menu of life is in your hand. And Jesus said to the blind man in the text we just read, what do you want that I should do unto you? I hear you praying. You see, that's another thing. Prayer that is not definite and positive is not good enough. It's a beautiful habit to go to church and to practice your various religious rituals that help you. But you must have a sense of direction. What are you doing it for? It isn't even enough to call Jesus unless you know your purpose. See, even the blind man was praying without a specific purpose stated. Except for mercy, which is rather general. We all need it every once in a while. But you got to be specific because you can't eat mercy for breakfast. As I say, mercy is good. We all need it. And Jesus was really saying to the man who was praying, have mercy on me. He was really saying to him, man, you ain't said nothing yet. In the text, Jesus brought the man to a point of decision, a point of choice. And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And the Bible said, then Jesus touched his eyes and he received his sight. But he didn't get his prayers answered until he became definite and positive. 75% of the people don't know what they want. This is a pathetic class who is dependent upon dumb luck. Well, I hope my luck holds out. And you look at other people who are definite and positive and who work toward what they want, both mentally and otherwise, and say, I wish I was that lucky. Lucky? You've got to be definite and positive in your choice. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 15th verse. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In other words, the menu of life is in your hand. Say that. The menu of life is in my hands. It's all set before you. You can be poor or you can be rich. If you want to be poor, don't blame anybody else. Just go on and be poor and don't complain. I'll never forget at Lovely Hill Baptist Church when I was a little boy. A lady sang the song, you've got to live forever somewhere, either with the angels in heaven or the demons in hell. I made my choice. And I thought about that, and I think about that from time to time, whenever fear or irritation or aggravation or negative emotions come to my mind. You see, because the demons in hell are not under the ground. The demons in hell are right in your mind. The heaven and hell are in you. You can choose either one. And I decide right there, I am not going to live with the demons of fear and I'm not going to live with the demons of irritation and aggravation. I'm going to live with the angels in heaven. And who are the angels? They're God's thoughts in the mind. The thoughts of good, thoughts of health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, yes, and that good old money. That's what I'm going to live with. And you see, every man, every mind has to live forever somewhere. But the choice is yours. You've got to make a choice. What do you want?
Well, I would like to be prosperous, but get your butt out of the way.
Now, that's what people have been doing. They've been just butting their good away from them. Pick up that tape out before you go home by Reverend Ike. Get your butt out of the way and make a decision. Live by science, not by dumb luck. Now, here's another 15% of the people who know what they want, but they don't write it down. They're too busy working their butts off to work their minds. But to work the behind without working the mind is not very productive. That is so good, I'm going to say it again. Are you with me? Repeat it after me. To work the behind without working the mind is not very productive. Do I ever? I don't have time to write it down. You'd better stop and write it down. Now, there are 7% of the people who know what they want and they write it down. And the upper 3% of the people who get what they want do three things. If you want to be successful, study successful people and practice monkey see, monkey do. And that's all right as long as monkey sees the right thing and monkey does the right thing. You just be sure that monkey sees the right thing and that monkey does the right thing. And I'm a believer in studying successful people, prosperous people, happy people. And to go behind that and say, hey, what principles is this person? What are the principles this person's using? You see, because it's not just dumb luck, there's principle behind this. The upper 3% of the people who get what they want do three things. Number one, what? They know what they want. People who go out to drill oil wells, there is no doubt about it. They know exactly what they want. I read the one time that most people are definite and positive is just usually when they go to the bathroom. Why? Because they know exactly what they had went to do. There's no doubt about it. They know exactly what their purpose is. So you think about this every time. You see, you can use that experience. So that's a mundane experience, but it's a mundane experience that you can make something positive out of from now on. Every time you go there, it says, now I know exactly what I've come here to do. And this is exactly what I must know about everything in my life. So the people who get what they want, first of all, what? Know what they want. Secondly, they what? Write it down. And thirdly, they what? Review it frequently. So here are the three techniques for getting what you want. And these are techniques, these are ways and means that you are going to have to put to use. Know exactly what you want. Decide, see, feel, and say what you want. The old Pentecostal hymn says, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. You see, it's not enough for Jesus to be on the main line. You must what? Tell him what you want. What do you want me to do for you? The master says, that I may receive my sight. Use your power of description to get what you want. You see, there is power in your describing what you want. That's why you're to know it, you're to write it down, and you're to review it frequently. I've told you one of the techniques that I've practiced over the past few months, and it's wonderful. I read all of my goals onto a tape recorder and recorded it. And I have 9 auto-reverse tape recorders, and I've got it on both sides of the tape, various affirmations and so on. And I play it on the subliminal level all night, most every night. That helps me to review what I want. I don't say that I want so-and-so. I affirm that I have it. I feel that I already have it. I see that I already have it. So that I impress upon my subconscious mind that I already have what I want. And that's very interesting, you know, because every prayer contains the answer. Say that. Say to the person sitting next to you, your prayer contains the answer. Good to know that. Your prayer contains the answer. My mother used to sing the song, every prayer will find its answer. That's correct also, but it's better for me to say, my prayer contains the answer. Isn't that wonderful? If you pray a prayer for healing, that prayer contains the healing that it asks for. If you pray for prosperity, that prayer contains the prosperity that you pray for. I want you, this is going to help your prayer life a lot more. You see, because the moment that you pray, at the same time, you are to acknowledge the answer. Jesus said in the Gospels also that when you stand praying, believe that you receive those things that you ask for, and you shall have them. My prayer contains the answer. Again? All right. So know what you want. Somebody is saying, yes, but Reverend Ike, are we supposed to be choosy? Yes, you are supposed to be choosy. And I think sometimes in childhood, maybe some of our parents misindoctrinated us by saying, don't be so choosy. How many of you have ever had that said to you, don't be so choosy? And you see, you've got to reverse all of that conditioning. I'm saying to you, be choosy. You see, because if you don't choose for yourself, the world will choose for you. If you don't choose to be rich, the world will choose for you to be poor. If you don't choose to be well, the world has chosen some delicious diseases for you to show you what the average people have happened to them. This is why you must choose. You see, when you make a choice, you take yourself out of the hands of dumb luck. I'm going to say that again and repeat it after me. When I choose, I take myself out of the hands of dumb luck. Think about that. Think about that. But I want to be redundant about this part. Now, if you don't choose, somebody else is going to choose for you. The world will choose for you. You give your power of choice away. So be choosy. Be choosy about everything that you want to be, to do, and to have. I'm not talking about being choosy about somebody else's stuff. Like I had somebody who worked for me one time looked at one of my diamond rings and says, I choose to have that ring right there. I says, don't choose my stuff. You choose your own. They don't go around claiming other people's stuff. Claim your own. Use your power of description to get what you want. And number two, write down what you want. This helps to impress it upon the subconscious mind. This helps to organize your good desire. Oh, I wish you would work with it as you've never worked with it before. Very often I would have reporters and interviewers say to me, well, Reverend Ike, why do you ask people to write you their prayer request if you already know what they need and what they want? Well, first of all, I admit, I know what everybody wants. That's why I came up with the old cliche, health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. Now, anything that anybody wants is included there somewhere, right? I've discovered that within that spectrum, also, you can find just about everybody's problem, like I told you about Tiny before. I just discovered after I talked with her a few minutes what she needed. She just needed some money, and she just finally came and said it. So you've got to come to that point of knowing exactly what you want and get a piece of paper and write your desires and your choices, and that will help to impress it upon the subconscious mind. It helps to organize your good desire. Now, I like the word also organize. Say that. Organize. Because you see, an organized mind works efficiently. Like this business of knowing what you want for just a moment. The moment you decide what you want, you start the process to working. Every time you make a decision, something happens. Every time you make a choice, something happens. The process begins. But until you make the choice, God doesn't even know what to do for you. Like somebody might have criticized Jesus when he asked the blind man, what do you want? He says, well, he was Jesus, he was God, he was God's son. Shouldn't he know what the man wants? It only goes to show you that God is always urging us to say what we want, to use the power of description. I got a lovely testimony card, for example, to help demonstrate this sermon. And this testimony here that she received a notice that the landlord wanted her apartment that she was living in and wanted it in a hurry. And so she said, I needed a 3-bedroom apartment immediately. In my offering envelope, I wrote apartment. In 1 month, I had a 3-bedroom apartment. Write the vision, make it plain. Say that. Write the vision, make it plain. She said something very interesting also. She went to the post office and picked up a registered dispossessed notice and got back home, and the phone rang. When she got back with that letter and said, come over here, I've got a 3-bedroom apartment for you. And she had written what she wanted. So write what you want, because it clarifies the situation to you. It clarifies the situation so that divine mind power will know just how to work it out. It impresses it upon the subconscious and organizes your good desire. Number 3, the third technique for getting what you want. Review it frequently. This keeps the mind moving on course. That's very important. Now, you got to be careful when you choose what you want, when you write what you want, and when you review it. Write what you want in such a way that it states you already have it. Oh, this is so important. Write what you want in a way that states you already have it. Do not write what you want in any way that infers that you don't have it. Do not write, I wish I had some money. That is a prayer that says you don't have it. How does God identify itself? God identifies itself as I am. Not I wish. Not I will be. Not I was. Not I wish I had. I wish I had is not God. I am. Present tense is God. I want to say this again, because if I could get just one subtle thing over to you, you're going to have a new experience in prayer. When you write what you want, write it in a way which implies that you already have it. And I'm going to use, I guess, what has become just about my favorite Bible verse again. I think I talk about it every time I get up here. The Bible says in the language of the mystic, let the weak say, I wish I was strong. You getting the point now? Let the weak say what? I am strong. Never pray or state your good desire in a way that indicates that you don't have it. Say that you do have it. Whenever a physical problem presents itself to me, my standard prayer is this: God in me is my good health. Let's hear it.
God in me is my good health.
So you see, now as you're going to go home, you're going to go home and you're going to take that sheet of paper. You're going to write on the top, what do I want? And then you're going to write what you want in such a way that implies that you already have it. If you want money, what are you going to say? I am plenty money. I am surplus money. You're not going to say, I wish I had. You see what goes wrong with some people's prayer? Be careful what you tell the subconscious. Let the weak say, I am, and then review it. You see, because that divine listener within you keeps listening, that power of hearing, it just keeps listening, and it is going to believe and bring to pass whatever you say. He shall have whatsoever he says. Again, he shall have whatsoever he says. I shall have whatsoever I say. Again, I shall have whatsoever I say. I say what? I say that I have. Now, this will help you better also to understand the words of Jesus. To him that hath, to him it shall be given. Say that. To him that hath, it shall be given. Say it again. To him that hath, it shall be given. The third time. To him that hath, to him it shall be given. Only the person who already has it can get it. You are not going to get it until you've got it. Got it? Wee-hoo. Stop, think about that for a moment. Because some people wonder, well, how come I'm always praying and I don't never get nothing? Because you haven't got it. You're not going to get it until you've got it. Isn't that a paradox? And when you get it, you'll have it. Get it? Got it? Stop trying to get it until you've got it. What do you mean, Reverend Ike? Get it in your mind. When you get it in your mind, you've got it. To him that hath, to him it shall be given. Life only gives to those who've got it. Got it where? In the mind. In the feeling nature. That's another way to say it. And this is very important. You get it with your mind. You get it with your feeling nature. You have to have the feeling of having it. I want money? Okay, how would I feel if I had plenty of money? Ask that question. All right, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to give you a line to put on your description of what you want when you work with it at home. I'm going to give you the one for money. I see and feel myself always having surplus money. What is it? I see and feel myself always having surplus money. Again, I see and feel myself always having surplus money. And then you see, you begin to act like you got it and feel like you got it and start acting like the Pentecostals when they get the Holy Ghost. When you get it in your mind, when you feel like you got it, when you say you got it, when you're praising God that you've already got it, then it shall be given unto you. Miracles will happen. But you're not going to get it until you've got it in your mind, in your feeling. And so, everything that you want, I suggest that you, when you write down what you want, when you write the vision, that you say, I see and feel myself with such and such. I see and feel myself being such and such. I see and feel myself doing such and such. But I suggest you use the words what? See and feel. Because the Bible says, does what? Says what? Write the vision. What's a vision? A vision is something you see in your mind. Is that right? A vision is something that you see with the eyes of the mind, with the eyes of the soul. All right, let's do some work on this, because the rest of this work, you've got to do at home, you've got to do it alone. I like that pretty good. You're not going to get it until you've got it. You see, that's why things are so hard to get sometimes. That's why things are so hard to accomplish sometimes, because people are trying to get them and they haven't got them. So decide what you want. Write it down. Write it on paper. Write it in your mind. Write it in your heart. Write that you've got it. Say that you've got it. See that you've got it. Feel that you've got it. And it isn't always well to tell everybody. Don't be a blabbermouth. You get enough static as it is, you don't need to go asking. Don't go running down the street shouting, I am rich. I am rich. The mugger may get the wrong idea. You can't always tell your best friends the things that you've got written in your heart and in your mind. You can't always tell your family, especially Aunt. I wish I'd remembered what publication it was, but there's a lady that turned out to be a resounding success in a certain field. I'll find it and find out the exact specifics. And she said, the reason I was able to do this was because my grandmother, my father's mother, she said, always told me when I was a little girl, you are never going to amount to anything. Now, I told you, you don't tell your kids that. That's dangerous. That's bad self-image psychology. She said she never forgot that. She made it up in her mind, I'm going to show her. So when people doubt you, when people try to talk you down, what are you going to say? I'm going to show them. But you see, somebody else would have let that hinder them. When you write the vision in your heart of the good that you desire to be, to do, and to have, don't go blabbering it to everybody, because some of your good kinfolks will talk you out of it. How many of you ever told somebody some good desire you had in your heart and they just jumped on you with both hands and feet? Let's see your hands. Never had that happen?
No, you can't do that. No, you can't be that.
I worked at many jobs while I was growing up. I worked officially, I think, first when I was 9 years of age. Every Friday I had this job. And among the things I did, I scrubbed from the back steps down the front steps of this lady's house, and I don't think she washed a dish during the week. To this day, I've got a few hang-ups, and one is washing dishes. I mean, I don't like to wash one. I'm not talking about washing a whole, but I don't like to wash one. Not one. Because I require a lot of solitude. Many times I'm in a place where there's nobody there but me in one of the places, you know, and there's nobody else there at the moment. And, you know, I'll use one glass or one dish or something. I don't like to wash one. I worked all day long, $1. Then at 11 years of age, I got a job in a car shop. And as I would be scraping up the grease and cleaning up the grease, there was one head mechanic that used to razz me. As I think about it now, I thank God for him. I thank God for him because he really motivated me. And there I was with the grease all over me. And I remember the first summer I worked there, I didn't have money to buy a pair of shoes. And I walked in the grease and among all of the metal and the sharp objects in an automobile shop. And I didn't have shoes. And he would come by, the head mechanic would come by and look at me every once in a while and say to me, "Boy, do you think that you will ever amount to anything?" Didn't even have a shirt on. I would straighten up with all the grease streaks off. And I would say, "Yes, sir." Go back to scraping that grease. So if life ever asks you, anybody ever asks you, do you think you will ever amount to anything? You just straighten up in God and say, "Yes, sir." Say yes to life. Say yes to God. Say yes to good. Say yes to healing. Say yes to success. Say yes to prosperity. But keep your visions in your heart. Keep them written down. Review them. Keep that mind on course. And God will work miracles in your life. Let's do this prayer treatment. Oh, what a statement this is. When you can really say this, I mean say it in your feeling, say it from your soul of soul, then you're going to get it. All right, here is, I know exactly what I want. Let's hear it. And you don't wait until you get a problem to know that you want to be well. You better know it every day. I know exactly what I want.
I know exactly what I want.
I write it in my mind and on paper.
I write it in my mind and on paper.
So you get home and write the vision. Make it plain. I review and affirm what I want daily.
I review and affirm what I want daily.
And give thanks for it.
And give thanks for it.
Even before it appears. I dare you to so feel that you are being, doing, and having the good that you desire until you get happy over it. I mean just rejoice until you get happy about it. Get so happy about it till you talk in tongues. Get so happy about it that you go singing and rejoicing. Get it? Get it? Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God in me.
Thank you, God in me.
I know exactly what I want.
I know exactly what I want.
I want good health.
I want good health.
I want perfect health.
I want perfect health.
In spirit, mind, and body.
In spirit, mind, and body.
I want total well-being.
I want total well-being.
I want happiness.
I want happiness.
I want to love and be loved. Success.
I want success.
I want prosperity.
I want prosperity.
I want money.
I want money.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
No apologies for it.
No apologies for it.
Now, you see, that's another thing, and my mother used to say this to me often. She said, son, don't be so mealy-mouthed about what you want. You know, some people, when they pray and ask for something, they apologize. Do you realize some people are so intimidated by life until they almost apologize for living? Have you ever seen people like that? I'm going to ask for some confessions now. How many of you have prayed, Lord, just give me this and I won't ask for that. If you give me this, I won't ask for that. How many of you have prayed prayers like that? Come on, confess. Let's see your hand. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Now, just before we close this lesson, we are going to state these prayers in the way that I taught you to state. Here we go. I am total well-being.
I am total well-being.
I see myself in total well-being.
I see myself in total well-being.
I am happy.
I am happy.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Is.
Right here.
Right now.
I am love.
I am love.
I am love itself.
I am loving and being loved in divine order.
I am success.
I am success itself.
I am prosperity.
I am prosperity itself.
I am money.
I am money itself.
I am money itself.
I am infinite money.
I am surplus money.
I am money in every form and amount that I need and want.
I am money in every form and amount that I need and want.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.